Sean.
Very much. Hey, everybody. Good morning. So what do you say we have a meditation? And so I think you're going to hear Kenneth solo in the background here for Unity Center of Norwalk. So that will be the underscoring. But we're going to do, I invite you, you can close your eyes today or you can do an open eye meditation. And I enjoy the open eye meditation. In a moment, Leo is going to bring up a candle, electronic candle here. And so you're welcome to keep your eyes open and just focus on the flame as I guide us. Oh, good. I was hoping there'd be a drum beat. Ah, and the song behind us today. Doesn't matter. It's an exciting song. It's and we're just going to do the best, have the best time we can here in this open eye meditation and let the music behind me beat, 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 and let my words guide us into our highest knowing today. So take a breath. Let's go on in. Let's breathe in and let's breathe up to the highest part of our being. So we continue to watch the flame. I like to affirm that the Christ in me is awake now. The Christ in me awake now. My memory of God, my memory of good, my memory of life and life more abundantly awake in me now, in my conscious mind. So, the Christ in me is awake now. Those of you who care to, would you affirm that with me, please? The Christ in me is awake now. Beautiful. And so in that Christ awakening here at the top of our being, whether you consider that the top of your head or just simply the top of no physical part of you, we take that in ever deeper, ever deeper, ever deeper, letting it affect and let it touch and affect every cell, every tissue, every fiber of our being. Christ in me awake now. Life awake in me now. My memory of good awakened in me now. When I say good, the good that has no opposite. So I invite us all, as we continue to breathe, and as we continue to be focused on the Christ, that highest consciousness awakened in us now. Let us go on in and see how it affects us. Let's go on in. Christ in me is awake now. Life in me is awake now. Love in me is awake now. All that is good and holy and true, all that could never ever be changed is awake in me now. So that I know myself as fully connected to my source. So knowing that, let's start our journey back here. Back here to this sanctuary, this place called Unity. And as we come back, let us come back refreshed, renewed, fully aware of the good that has just taken place, that we may say thank you and amen. Leo, do you want to take us away?
Life is full of grief and pain and sadness, it is true. But if it's driving you insane, there's just one thing to do. You gotta send all your troubles out of sight. Live it up, live it up, live it up, live it up tonight. When I was just a little boy, my grandma used to say,
tomorrow takes care of itself, so just live for today.
She said, boy, you better do as you are told. You better live it up now before you get too old.
The world is here just for the taking, living it, laughing it, loving it, do anything you want to do. Cause life is just too short to waste, there's so much wine for you to taste. So why not sit back a while and have yourself a glass or two? If all your dreams have failed you and your plans have fallen through, your boyfriend's up and left you, and your wife has left you too, I tell you, everything's gonna be alright. If you go and live it up, live it up, live it up, live it up tonight. Let me tell you a little story. Oh, once there was a girl who was as good as she could be. She never sinned in any way, no, she lived perfectly. She said, I'm gonna wait for my reward. Gonna live it up when I go to meet the Lord.
Give it up when you meet the Lord. Gonna really give it up when you meet the Lord.
She sat and thought how happy she would be on Judgment Day. She sat and thought her whole life till she finally passed away. When she died, she said, I don't really care. Cause I'm gonna live it up, gonna live it up, gonna live it up up there. She walked up to the pearly gates, said, here I am, let's begin. Let me in on all the fun that waits inside. St. Peter looked her in the eye, said, girl, I know you really tried, but too late now. You should have lived it up before you went and died. The moral of the story is as plain as it can be. So do yourself a favor and just take a tip from me. You can't depend on the future anyhow. So go and live it up, live it up, live it up.
Leo, that was fantastic. I marvel at what he did with all that, and it tells you the party may not be later, the party is now, and it's to live it up within a certain consciousness, within an understanding of that what is good about me, what is good about my life, and to continue to create that reality in my consciousness. You know, as I've said, the talk title is your spirituality is not it's not temporary. It's not a plaything. Your spirituality is suddenly gone blank. I've gone blank on my talk title. But my spirituality is not just a hobby. Yay, I got it right. Your spirituality is not just a hobby. It is a way of life. It is a way of living. It is a way of thinking. It is a way of being. It is a way of I am. And that doesn't mean it needs to be dull, and it does not need to be restrictive. Your spirituality is just what you are, and at least it ought to be. I've asked this question before, and I'll ask it again. Are you here because you want to deepen your God consciousness? You want to wake up. You want to know your whole healing. Are you just here to make your misery more manageable? And I don't want to judge you if you're, although I probably will, if you're just here to make your spirituality more manageable. But there's so much more to be offered. I was very blessed. When I came to Unity, by the time I got here, I was really digging into a spiritual path. And I just wanted more, more, more. And life events happened to make me, if I hadn't dug in even deeper, like within the first week, I don't know what I would have done with myself, but I kept listening. I took three classes a week back then. You could. We were in 58th Street at the Butterworth building, and Paul had a Tuesday class. Nan Baldwin had a Friday class, and Reverend Mary Alice Brown had a Thursday class, and I took them all, and a meditation circle. I did them all because I didn't know what else to do with myself at that point, and I was hearing such really, for me, profound things. They were simple, but they were profound. And what they helped me so much with way before Four Agreements came out was to work at not taking things personally. And not only not taking them personally, but taking things as an opportunity to grow and to learn and to move through my limited thinking and move into, of course, unlimited thinking, infinite possibility. And I would study, and I bought all the books. When I say all the books, I mean I bought a metaphysical book, Bible dictionary. I bought the Revealing Word. I started reading the Fillmore books and taking their classes and things. And I would, if I didn't understand a word that was taught on a Sunday or in a class, I looked it up, and I said, "Oh, that's what it reveals in my thinking." And that's what I needed to do, was keep having what is in my thinking revealed to me. And everything started changing and everything started shifting. And my life got better, even though sometimes it was painful. Sometimes, oh my goodness, as I started expanding spiritually, it was painful. It was like ripping barnacles off my skin that I had been holding on to, because I thought those old limited thoughts made me safe. And I'm sure some of you can understand that. If you think about it, what is some, we'll say, untrue stuff that you think that you hold on to? You know it's not true, but you find comfort in it and you're afraid to let it go because then there'll be nothing. Sometimes we're afraid to let go of, and I'm going to use this word that I don't recommend you ever use in your life. I'm afraid of letting go of what is bad for fear I'll have nothing. And bad is better than no thing. And we haven't yet somehow taken into our consciousness there is good waiting for us to experience it. And all we have to do, we don't even have to give up the bad. We just have to, as I say, reach out. I'm getting the camera here. Yeah, reach out for the good. Just reach out for the good. Because you see, if I've got a tight grip on what I call bad, or a tight grip on anything, here, we'll use this lemon packet. If I have got a grip on this lemon packet, and the only way I can reach out for this bottle of mist, I have to let go of that to pick that up. I can't get it while this is in my fist. I have to let it go to get this. And so I hope that makes sense. So I have to let go of these thoughts in order to pick up this other, but I don't even have to consciously let go anymore. I just have to reach out for what I know is right and true. Think on these things, as they say. And so to look into that, I want my spirituality. I want what is actual in spiritual spirit rather than a buzzword, rather than things that make me comfortable. It's not about my comfort. It's about my knowing the truth. It's about my knowing what is. And somebody said, well, how do I know what is? Well, usually it's what you can't describe. Love is, but I can't describe it. I just know that it is. God is, but I can't describe it, but I just know that it is. Principle is, I can't describe it, but I know that it is. And so to reach out for principle, you know, a very simple way of doing this is to say, you know, I see something. I see my lemon packet. And I say, Spirit, tell me what to think about this lemon packet. And there you go. That's how you hand it over to Spirit. It is my belief, it is my absolute belief, that if I go within and I ask this Spirit that I call it, but what it's my highest mind, it's the highest aspect of the mind within me, divine mind within me, and I say, tell me what to think about this, I'm going to be told, simply because I asked. Now, and I pointed this out many, many times. You hear, all you need is love right behind us here. And then that should stop the noise behind us. But it's not noise. It's beautiful music, and I'm grateful for it. But I had to be here today to do this. So if I reach out for this, Spirit, tell me what to think about lemon packets. Why? Because I'm thinking about them, and I guarantee you I am making up a story about lemon packets. Spirit, tell me what to think about, my phone. Tell me what to think about my phone, because otherwise I have opinions about phones. I have judgments about phones. I have, and it's not appropriate. It's just so not appropriate. You know, when I see somebody walking down the street and they're reading their phone, I have opinions and judgments that aren't true. Anybody here? I bet there are, you know, and you're annoyed at why do they have to be on their phone all the time? Why can't they do this? And it's like, I'm telling myself a story that is not true. And how do I know? Yeah, because my story could change. That's how I know it's not true. Because if suddenly that person on their phone came over to me and said, oh, I don't know you. So glad I was on my phone. I have $1 million in cash to give you. It's not in another country. It's right here in my purse. And I want to give you this $1 million in cash because I see God in you today. Oh, you wouldn't mind them on their phone now, would you? And so it's good to pay attention to that. Oh, my judgments are so unkind to myself and to so many other people and to God and to my world, my opinions and my judgments. And that's what makes my spirituality a part-time hobby. If I'm, here's a clue. Do you spend more time each day worrying than you do consciously praying? Do you spend more time each day criticizing than you do consciously praying, seeking to know God as your source and your supply? Which do you spend more time doing? And that's a really good clue to tell you if your spirituality is a full-time job or a part-time job. Not part-time, you know, I don't mean job, but hobby, practice. There we go. A full-time practice or a part-time practice. I know we're not perfect in our behaviors and our thinking. I know we are flawed and we have limitations, but really, do you spend more time forgiving yourself for your imperfection than you do moving towards or into your perfection, into what you really, really want? You know, I remember one year for the metaphysical Lent, I the first night of class, and we Lent started on a Monday, or Sunday or Monday, and it was a Wednesday night, and I said I was saying, you know, I haven't gossiped, criticized, or complained, except for one hairstyle I couldn't let go by. And that's the thing, and it was cute, and it was funny, and it made everybody laugh, but the truth is, I could have let it go by. I didn't need that judgment, but the laughter was fun too. So, you see, I didn't do anything bad, but did I meet the ideal? Or did I fall short of the ideal consciously and willingly? And that's what we need to pay attention to. You know, am I willingly falling short of the ideal when I know perfectly well I could meet the ideal? It won't get the laughs I had hoping for. And sometimes it will make me chew my guts out for a few moments because it's like, oh, I'm so dull now. I have nothing to talk about since I got into this spiritual thing. Oh, I don't have anything to say anymore. Well, no, the truth is you may not have something to say for a while. But the room will be cleaner when you leave it. You know, I felt the difference in my behaviors, that there are days I just want to go home and take a shower because of the things that I have inspired myself and others to say. And it's like, I don't have to do that. It's not required of me just for the name of being funny. Can I, would I, will I begin to practice my spirituality as a full-time practice rather than a part-time hobby? You know, we come to church on Sundays, we get together with people, even if it's metaphysically like this. But what do we do as soon as we hit the off button? Are we practicing today's principles by the time we disconnect from the Facebook today? Will we look into it? Will I pick up a book and read more deeply into my spirituality? So that I could practice. Listen to this. This comes from the Holy Spirit's interpretation of the New Testament. Many of you know this. I'm a big fan of this, A Course in Understanding by Regina Dawn Akers. But this comes from, I believe it is, it's Luke. It's the 15th chapter of Luke. And it says here, here are some thoughts I ask you to practice giving acceptance to. The Spirit of God is one. The Spirit of God is one. Nothing exists that is outside of the Spirit of God. And so what is untrue doesn't exist. Yes, it's outside of the Spirit of God because it's temporary and it can change. As soon as I have a new thought, All that stuff I'm thinking that's untrue will no longer be prevalent. So therefore, nothing exists that is outside of the spirit of God. So let's celebrate that right now. Oh, there's a lot of things I'm glad don't exist in the spirit of God. I exist, and so I must be within the spirit of God. Well, I am exists. I exist. The I am of me, that which is of me, also exists in God. It comes out of God. It is part of God. The other stuff is just behaviors. It's just forgetfulness. It's falling short of the ideal. It's just temporary stuff. I exist, so I must be within the Spirit of God. That which is within the Spirit of God is the Spirit of God. I and the Spirit of God are one, and all else is illusion. As we move forward, I will help you to see and understand these thoughts more clearly. For now, I ask that you give willingness to accept them. I also ask that you remember whatever is true for you is true of everyone and everything you experience. So imagine if we were to begin refraining from practicing what we know is not true, from speaking the words we know that are not true. If we don't understand, I can tell you now, there'll be at least a half dozen times today, I'll say something that is not true to be funny. But what I have to look at, is it hurtful? Will it delay my own journey or someone else's journey? If I speak these words, if I maintain these thoughts, if I continue them, if they will, I will probably refrain from saying it. If it's just simply funny and not true, we can have conversations about stuff that is not true. I can talk about the carpet. The carpet isn't true, but it hurts no one for me to talk about the carpet unless I obsess about the carpet. And there are lots of us who will do that. Oh no, there's a stain in the carpet. There's a piece of lint on the carpet. The carpet is brand new. I can't do this. I don't have any money. How can I replace the carpet? All that stuff. And suddenly it goes off into a tangent of really not true stuff that I start to believe is true. And also, you know, we have to be, I don't want to say careful. I want to say we have to be cautious of the way we speak of our body. You know, to say cruel, unkind things about our body or our physical appearance, well, who does that help? Who does that help? Does that help you to feel better about yourself when you walk down the street? Who does it help? We want to do things that awaken us to the Spirit of God within us, to our spirituality. I looked this up today. Metaphysical meaning of spirit. And that is God as the moving force in the universe. Principle as the breath of life and all creation. The principle of life, creative intelligence. And Mr. Fillmore, you know, Charles Fillmore, co-pioneer of the Unity Movement, says, we sometimes discover within ourselves a flow of thought that has been evolved independently of the reasoning process. And we are puzzled about its origin and its safety as a guide. In its beginnings, this seemingly strange source of knowledge is turned aside as a daydream. Again, it seems a distant voice, an echo of something that we have heard and forgotten. One should give attention to this unusual and usually faint whispering of spirit in man. It is the development in man of a greater capacity to know him or herself and to understand the purpose of creation. When one concentrates all the faculties on truth ideas, I love that. When one concentrates all the faculties, all the 12 powers, what have you, all our senses, when one concentrates all the faculties on capital T truth ideas, the conscious mind and superconscious mind blend. And there is a descent of spiritual energies into the soul and body. Then the faculties receive new power to express truth, and the body is renewed. Imagine that our body could be renewed by way of our concentration on truth ideas. You know, it's not just concentrate, but it's keep going back, to pray without ceasing on truth ideas. What are truth ideas? You know, remind yourself over and over again. Truth ideas is on that which does not change, which will never change. Love will never change. My understanding of it will, but love itself will never change. Principle will never change. God will never change. Peace will never change. Joy, whatever is of a God, will never change. It's just my understanding of it that is going to change as I keep expanding my consciousness to include more and more of God, more and more of love, more and more of life, more and more of principle. As I expand my consciousness willingly, by focusing my faculties on truth ideas, then there's so much more to experience in my mind, in my body, in my life. When I came into Unity, I didn't know what it was. A friend of mine invited me, didn't have a clue. This was about wholeness and healing of mind and body and relationship and finances even. Because it's important to understand finances, because otherwise we think there's something there that they aren't. We give power to finances that it does not possess. Money has no power unto itself. Course in Miracles. What it says is, paper discs. No, metal discs and paper sheets. As what money is. It's the idea behind it. It's the thought behind it. Today, I said to David this morning, I said, today I expect miracles. And he said, well, what are miracles? And I said, they are corrections. They are corrections in my perception. That's what a miracle is. It is a correction in my thinking. It is a correction. Somebody sent David a cartoon yesterday and was asking, a woman was saying that God is punishing me. Because I expect too much from life, and I prayed to prosper, and I want to prosper. And the person talking to her said, but I thought you didn't believe in God. And she says, well, I do around the bad stuff. How many of us are using God to punish ourselves, but not using God to prosper ourselves, not using God to love ourselves, not using God? And start. And if you're already started, more deeply use what God, G-O-D, to replenish the love and expand the conscious awareness of it, to replenish the health and expand the conscious awareness of health, to replenish harmony and to expand the conscious awareness of harmony. You can see it makes for a busy day. It makes for a very busy day to commit to a spiritual practice, to a life well lived in spirit. Now, Leo is about to sing another song of David that he wrote with Portia Nelson. No, he didn't. Leo's going to sing that song next month. This song David wrote it's about the longing to know God always. And we use it musically today that David wrote this. It's a wonderful song, in my opinion. And it has inspired many people. But this week, as you go forth from today, seek God in all things. Seek life and wisdom in all things. Seek power and peace in all things, in all thinking, in all expressions of thinking. Seek to laugh and to have the best time. Seek to hurt no one, but to be present, to let the light of God shine through you from this day on for as long as I can think. We'll say it that way. So thank you all, and let's listen to Leo.
When the night is dark and my dreams have fallen through, when my friends just can't be found and there's no one else around, I know I have you. When my heart is filled with pain and I don't know what to do, you are always there for me, and whatever comes to be, I know I'll get through. As long as I can sing, long as there's a melody inside of me. I have a voice, I can face anything, as long as I can sing. You could take my world away, everything that I possess, but it wouldn't get to me. These things are not the key. As long as I can sing, as long as there's a melody inside of me, I have a voice, I can face anything, as long as I can sing. And heart and let go, 'cause I can fly on the wings of the song in my soul. As long as I can sing, as long as there's a melody